Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Monday edition of the show. Glad to have you with us for another week here on the Hoosier Report. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. IU women, that's the chief subject today. The women are headed to a big game tonight. It'll be their final game of the season, regardless the outcome in Assembly Hall. And of course, this IU women's team with Mackenzie Holmes back is hoping to be able to make a run deeper into the tournament. So the men's might be on pause for a few days until we get to the weekend, or at least until later in the week, but the women's action continues today and Tuesday to keep us very active here with March Madness. It has been absolute overload the last few weeks when it comes to basketball. And this week, in addition to women's tournament and men's tournament continuing, we also have the state championship games after kind of an odd pause because of NCAA games in Indianapolis. The state finals bump back 1 week so they can be at Gainbridge Fieldhouse per normal. Those will be coming up, and we'll keep an eye on them with Scottsburg and Brownstown, two reasonably local teams, members of the Mid-Southern Conference, playing for state championships coming up on Saturday. Let's look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments, our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get into the IU women tonight. We'll look at the transfer portal with the IU men's basketball team. There are so many names out there that are possibilities. And I think that you got to believe, with teams getting eliminated from the NCAA tournament Thursday through Sunday, there'll be another wave of players starting today that enter the portal now that their seasons are officially over. So that could help increase the level of talent, as obviously if you're in the NCAA tournament, you probably come from a decent team, and if you're looking to move on to another situation, you may have outplayed yourself this season and be in a good situation to maybe take your game from a high major school, or I should say a mid-major school, to a high major situation. So we'll see any new names that come in over the next few days. But the transfer portal is popping. It seems to be well on its way to another record-breaking season. We'll get into that some here in just a little bit as well. Later today, no Zach Osterman. He's got a little bit of an issue today and is not going to be able to connect with us. But we will have Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, and IHSA Executive Board member, joining us later in the hour today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham, excuse me, in New Albany. Check out their dinner packages. They've got great sandwiches and soups and salad for lunch as well. Lots of options at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, and give them a try today. Thornton's text line is open. That number, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We'd love to hear from you on the show. It can be IU, local sports, whatever you want to share, your questions, your comments. You can sound off, you can complain, you can do about whatever you want, as long as it's within reason. The number to send those texts to is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Sign up for the Thornton's. Excuse me, I'm all choked up here today. Sign up for the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards, and you can receive 25 cents. Not percent, 25 cents off per gallon of great weekly fuel offers that you just can't pass up. You can download the app on the App Store or on Google Play. Just search for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards and download that important Thornton's app today. You'll be glad that you did. 502-414-1450. 1450 is the number. Again, 502-414-1450 is the number. Justin Kalen, Justin, I'm all choked up here. Help me out. IU women tonight, we're going to have you on in the second segment to replace Zach Osterman today. But with the IU men out, now that we've had lots of NCAA tournament games without the Hoosiers on the men's side, this women's team looked really good in their opening game. As a big IU guy, the big diehard fan you are, How tied into this Indiana women's team are you, and how important is the game tonight from a fan perspective? Are you getting into the women's team here in the March Madness for them?
Oh, yeah. No question about it, man. And I've been pretty locked into this women's team for the entirety of the season, really. I mean, I haven't watched every game like I would on the men's side of things, but I've kept up. I've looked at box scores. I've done all that stuff. And Saturday was appointment television for me. I've watched pretty much the entirety of that game on Saturday. So that was a lot of fun. Really looking forward to tonight as well. I think it's at 6:30 this evening, so should give me some time to get home after work and get it on the TV. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this women's team. They just play such a fun brand of basketball. I really enjoy watching them.
Justin, a lot more overlap between men's and women's in the tournament this year. Do you like it, or do you think it takes away attention from the women when they had standalone days?
I do think it takes away attention from the women, which that's unfortunate, right? But, I mean, people are always going to gravitate to the men's tournament because that's what is – when we think of March Madness, we think of the men's tournament. And a lot of times – the women get left out in the cold and that sort of thing. I don't know if that's because in the women's tournament, it's so top heavy that, and I've said this in the past, but if you fill out a women's bracket versus a men's bracket, you're going to have a lot better success filling in the women's bracket because they're 1, 2, 3 seeds. I mean, they're all going to go pretty far like they're supposed to. It's very chalky on the women's side of things. But yeah, I wish they didn't overlap so much. I am glad that we do have this one day here on this Monday where it's just the women's game. So we'll get, what, 8 games of the women's tournament here tonight, and Indiana being one of them. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot more spotlight on the Indiana women tonight and the women's tournament as a whole. But I expect Assembly Hall is going to be a madhouse tonight, Matt. I don't know if you got to watch much of it on Saturday, but it was crazy on Saturday. It's going to be even more nuts tonight. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it seemed like a great environment for the game on Saturday. You got to believe with number 5 seed Oklahoma, the opponent tonight, that it will even take a step up as far as the crowd goes. So, Justin, let's gather your thoughts on all the Sweet 16 field, and we'll go through all that in segment 2 with you today here on the show.
Sounds good. I'm no replacement for Zach Osterman, but I'll do my best.
Absolutely. Justin is a jack of all trades here at the Big X. But IU women tonight, Justin is right. I believe it is a 6:30 tip-off. Indiana cruised past 13-seeded Fairfield, and that was an important win, not just to get the victory, obviously, and move on, but to win in the dominant fashion that the IU women did. The Fairfield team had an outstanding record and had not lost, but, I mean, what was it, once the entire season? So for Indiana to beat them down in the way that they did was impressive. And now this Indiana team takes another step up in competition tonight with Oklahoma. But I think with Mackenzie Holmes back, this Indiana team does have a chance to win and move on to the Sweet 16 round. And again, Elite Eight, you know, that's kind of been a ceiling recently for this IU women's program. Can they best that this season? Obviously, they are in a tough bracket. There are some big challenges ahead if the IU women can continue to win. But going to be fun to watch that tonight. And as Justin said, an outstanding environment in Assembly Hall. If you have a young girl or even boy basketball player, get them up there. Tickets are reasonable. Going to be a great crowd. It's an NCAA tournament event. Love to see that place be packed for the postseason. They've had some great crowds there for NCAA tournament games in recent years, and I expect tonight, again, to be even. I think it was 10 or 11,000 there for Saturday's game, and I would expect maybe much more than that for the game against Oklahoma tonight. Indiana, as far as the transfer portal goes on the men's side, other than a lot of new possibilities, there is nothing major to report. There have been no additional departures from the program since we spoke last on Friday. There have been no additions to the program since we spoke last on Friday. A lot of names, obviously, across the country entering the transfer portal. We discussed a few of the names on Friday. We'll get into some of them this week as well. I think a very interesting name for Indiana is a player named Leland Walker, who is from Indianapolis. He is has been at Eastern Kentucky. He's a guard. DePaul and Indiana seem to be the two major schools putting their best efforts out for Walker's talents. He's got visits set to both programs. He's going to be at Indiana 1 week from today on April 1st. And so an interesting recruitment battle coming up, it looks like, between former Ohio State coach and new DePaul coach Chris Holtman, and of course Mike Woodson and his staff at Indiana. But Walker, a great player, had a great high school career. He makes a lot of sense for this Indiana team. But other than that, it's just a lot of names. And I know Indiana's working to set up some visits with guys that have hit the portal. A couple names to mention. Sky Clark from Louisville entered his name into the portal over the weekend. So it will be interesting to see who locks in on him. Indiana potentially could reach out to him. I, in fact, would expect them to do so. Connor Asijan, who is an in-state guy that went to Wisconsin, he entered the portal on Sunday night. Obviously a Hoosier State guy from the Fort Wayne area. If you remember, Providence beat Asijan, I believe is how you say it, in his final game at Central Noble in the state championship game. But he was an elite shooter, a really good player. We'll be interested to see if Indiana gets in communication with any of those guys. And then Peyton Sparks from Indiana that entered the portal early last week, kind of an interesting situation. He came from Ball State. He is a Winchester, Indiana player, native, I should say. He came to Indiana, which he said in going to Indiana, playing for the Hoosiers was always his dream, but he never really got the interest from Indiana out of high school to be able to make that commitment and to give the Hoosiers a go. But when it didn't work this past year for Indiana, he decided to hit the portal again. And believe it or not, this is pretty cool. He's going back to Ball State to play for former Hoosier Michael Lewis. Sparks had a great career, great start to his career at Ball State, and very likely is going to have a great finish to his career at Ball State as well. You don't often see that, but pretty cool for a player to, okay, I did well here. I'm going to level up. I'm going to try a higher level of college basketball. But you know what? It wasn't for me. It didn't work out for whatever reason. So I'm going to go back where I came from for the same coach that he played for as well and enter the transfer portal and kind of go back home to Muncie and Ball State. So I thought that was a pretty unique update out of the transfer portal. And good to see Peyton Sparks go back to Ball State. Good to see him give Indiana a go. It just didn't work out. I think he's much more suited for the mid-major level, and he will be a big boost going back to Ball State for former Hoosier and coach Michael Lewis. So that was neat to see as well. But I think, again, more names will hit the portal today, tomorrow, this week, especially with teams being eliminated from the NCAA tournament over the weekend. And that's going to continue, I think, as we get through each round of the upcoming remainder of the NCAA tournament. So there will be some new names coming, and there will be some guys that they're weighing their decisions right now. They're considering what they're going to do. And there will even be a later wave of players that might try the NBA. And when that doesn't seem like a legitimate possibility, instead of returning to the school they're at now, they might hit the portal as well. So obviously Indiana, I think it's six spots they need to fill via recruiting or the transfer portal. And so we will see how it goes for this Indiana team. But you can bet one way or another. And I know there's still some things up in the air with Mackenzie Mbako and, of course, NBA dreams for Khalil Ware. But one thing is for sure, there will be a lot of new faces on the roster. And a lot of those faces, some of those faces at a minimum, are going to need to be contributors right away for this Indiana team. So Mike Woodson and his staff, they've got the job of not only finding needs out of the portal, but finding fits that can come in and help be difference makers because it's a one-year deal at this point. I think everybody understands the situation that Mike Woodson and the coaching staff is in. They need to produce some results as they head into year four of the staff being together in Bloomington under Mike Woodson's leadership. One other important and interesting note over the weekend, another in-state prospect, Jalen Harrelson, who was at Fishers, who is playing in the 4A state championship game this week. He transferred late in the offseason to LaPorte La Lemire and has been playing a national schedule of high school basketball this season. He has announced he is down to nine schools. He's going to consider Auburn, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, Kansas, Michigan State, Missouri, Notre Dame, and Purdue. So Indiana and Purdue, both in-state schools, make his final nine. And be interesting to see where Harrison goes. And does Indiana have a legitimate shot at landing his services at this point, given all the turnover with the roster and given maybe some of the unknown with the coaching staff? But Harrelson is no stranger to Bloomington. He's taken multiple visits to the Indiana campus. He received a scholarship offer from the Hoosiers back in October of 2021. And he's been a big name in our state, really, since he was an eighth grader coming up in the Fisher system. So I do think it's going to be interesting as he whittles this recruitment down, perhaps over the summer. Going to be interesting to see what his story looks like and where Indiana lines up if they make the next cut, whenever that could happen, if there is another cut from Harrelson. But I think it's been reported that he probably is 4 or 5 months away from making a decision some point in advance of the next high school basketball season. So Jalen Harrelson, a big name out there. You just wonder where Indiana stands right now when it comes to some of these big name recruits. Going to be interesting given all the uncertainty right now in Bloomington. Also, Indiana junior all-star team was announced a little earlier this morning. The core team is Desmond Briscoe of Christmas Addicts, Brady Kohler of Indianapolis Cathedral, Braylon Mullins, who is a big IU recruit from Greenfield Central, Xavier Robinson from Lawrence North. We saw him, Jeffersonville, knocked Robinson and his team out a few Saturdays ago in Newcastle. Trent Sisley also getting some interest from Indiana, a lot of interest from Indiana, and then Mark Zachary from Ben Davis, who's a great football player and had a great game against Jeff and really has played outstanding this tournament. He's got Ben Davis in a 4A state championship game against Fishers coming up this week. But of those six core team members, Mullins, Robinson, and Sisley, big recruits for Indiana. Just going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. The core group of All-Stars play on June 2nd and 5th. Now, the red team, the red group of All-Stars, that includes Michael Cooper of Jeffersonville and also Trey Singleton of Jeffersonville as well. Both of those guys didn't get on the core team, but they do get to play in the June 2nd game against the Kentucky Juniors as a member of the red group of junior All-Stars. So a big honor for Cooper, who was basically outstanding most of the tournament for Jeffersonville. Trey Singleton really had some good moments and a good junior year, but both of those guys getting the opportunity to represent Indiana on the Indiana Junior All-Stars. They will be, along with P.J. Douglas, really big cogs for Jeffersonville next season if the Red Devils are going to be one of the best teams in 4A basketball next year. So big stuff for two of those Devils to get Indiana Junior All-Star opportunities coming up this summer. That is still a big honor in our state and neat to see a couple locals get selected to that team. By the way, the red group is basically a Southern Indiana group for the most part, Central Indiana into Southern Indiana. The blue group is primarily players from Northern Indiana, and that's the layout of things for the Junior All-Stars. They'll have one game on June 2nd against Kentucky, and Mike Broughton told me up at Newcastle that game is likely going to be played at Scottsburg High School, which makes sense. It's not a big travel distance for the Kentucky Juniors coming up into Southern Indiana. And then on June 5th, they will take on the Indiana senior team in an exhibition game. Thornton's text line is open. That number 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to break down the NCAA tournament and look ahead to the Sweet 16 matchups coming up beginning on Thursday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the show. Justin Kalin going to join me here, the producer and a very valuable part, we'll introduce him as that, of our Big X Sports Radio team. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Before we get into the NCAA tournament, let's talk some coaching news. And before we even get into that, let's talk about coaching locally in general. Justin, a lot of Indiana fans want Mike Woodson gone and are steaming that he is back for another year. Louisville is trying to fill their post-coaching vacancy, and Dusty May spurned the Cardinals on Saturday, instead choosing Michigan over the Louisville program. And at Kentucky, Coach Cal and the Wildcats lose a crazy game to Oakland in their first-round game last week, and now Kentucky fans want Cal gone. So here in Kentuckiana, where college basketball is king, it's hard to keep your job, and it's hard to keep fans happy.
Well, and it's a lot of unsettlement, right? I mean, the going on between all the programs. Like, everybody just wants to know what's going on. And I think that spurns from just the Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky specifically. Those fan bases are so impatient, Matt. That's what it comes down to for me. The patience comes at a premium for all three of those groups. So, yeah, I mean, I think on the Indiana side of things, it's pretty much settled down at this point. You like to think going into next season it's going to be Woodson, and people will hopefully get behind that. The Louisville situation, a little more dicey. I remember seeing that news on Saturday night, I believe it was, that Dusty May was choosing Michigan, and my mind immediately went to, well, where does Louisville go now? Who's their number one target now? Because that was, by all accounts, their number one target. So interested to see where they go. And then the John Calipari thing. I mean, I get it on both sides of it, but whether UK fans like it or not, I'm in the camp that I think John Calipari is going to be back next year. So, yeah, I don't know if that's what Kentucky fans want to hear with the way things have gone the past several years. But, yeah, definitely a lot of unrest, I guess, is what you would call it for our area schools in terms of the coaching. But it's going to be fascinating to follow this offseason, specifically the Louisville situation.
Talking with Justin Kalen, when do we find out something on Cal? Do we find out something today, this week? When do you think Kentucky fans know what his future is? Is there going to be a chance of a major, major buyout, which I think would be record-breaking in college basketball? Or, I'm with you, is he going to return next season? That's where I would stand. But when do we learn this? When do we find out what his future is?
Well, here's the thing. Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director at Kentucky, the longer he stays silent, the more assuredness the Kentucky fans can have that Cal's coming back, because Barnhart just doesn't talk about these sort of things. So if you continue to just hear quiet in regards to this whole situation, I think it's going to be Cal coming back, and I don't know that Barnhart's ever going to release a statement about that. So that's not what Kentucky fans want to hear. They want to hear from their athletic director and hear what he's got to say, but fact of the matter is he just doesn't meet with the media all that often. So I don't expect anything to be said. I don't know. Maybe you start hearing some rumblings this week if they are going to go that direction, but I can't imagine that's what they're going to choose to do. And a lot of Kentucky fans will tell you, well, who are we going to get that's better than Cal? And TJ was saying this morning on Kentucky Roll Call, there's several names you could bring in that could do better than what Cal has done in the last five seasons. But fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, Matt, they have a Hall of Fame head coach, one of the best to ever do it, one of the best recruiters to ever do it at the collegiate level. So I don't know if that's a guy you get rid of, but that's just me.
All right, Justin Kalen with me here in segment two. We don't have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star today. He'll be back with us next Monday. Justin, NCAA tournament, the Kentucky game was the shock for me, but there were some other surprising moments as well. How's your bracket? And tell me maybe a highlight or two from you out of this opening weekend of play.
Man, my bracket is absolutely busted. I like to do the thing where I pick double-digit seeds to get pretty far. And it's funny because I brought up the whole women's tournament earlier and just talked about how it's easier to fill out their brackets because it's more chalky. And then I look down this Sweet 16 for the men's side of things, and it's very chalky as well. I mean, you got 1-5, a 3 playing a 2, a 1 versus a 4. another 1-4, 6-2, 3-2, 1-5. So it was all very chalky on the men's side of things, too. All the one seeds were able to have great performances. I thought Purdue yesterday. I was watching that Utah State TCU game on, I guess it would have been Friday, pretty intently after you had Kyle Nedenrip on, and he said, well, if you're going against Purdue, you should be cheering for TCU because they're going to give them some size issues. Well, TCU just ends up getting smacked by Utah State. So I had a little bit of hope going into that Purdue game yesterday. I was like, ah, maybe Utah State could do it. No, Purdue looked unbelievable in that game yesterday. It's as much as a Purdue hater as I am, it is hard to find some spots in their team where they have weaknesses because there's not very many. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I thought the tournament was a lot of fun this weekend. You had the whole NC State story. I don't really understand how they're in the Sweet 16. They are just not a good team, but hats off to them. Houston, of course, last night had to go to overtime to take care of Texas A&M, and I was hand up, Matt. I was wrong on my Nebraska prediction, so if you threw any money on that, I'm not reimbursing you, but I will I will accept fault for that.
Well, I'm glad you said that because one of our loyal listeners on the Thornton's text line said, I have to wonder, why does Nebraska seem to own us but doesn't always play that well against others? I thought of the same thing. I guess, is it Tominga or Tomanaga? I never can pronounce his name correctly. But he shot it okay, not anything like what he did against Indiana in the matchups. It's every time they play, it seems. But that is a good point. Nebraska was a little bit of a disappointment. I had him as a first-round winner for sure.
Yeah, well, he started out the game really hot. He hit three threes in the first 7-8 minutes or whatever it was, and then just didn't do much else the rest of the game. So that game was admittedly very disappointing, especially Texas A&M winning the way they did. But no, overall, I thought it was a fun weekend. We got a lot of fun games out of it. I mean, the whole Oakland story, I thought they were going to get it done yesterday with Golkey going crazy again from three. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't meant to be. All four number one seeds, like I said, advanced. So looks like we've got some fun basketball coming up. And this is normally, I feel like this is opposite of what we normally get in the NCAA tournament, right, Matt? Because I mean, you get upsets in the first round and then you get to the Sweet 16 round and you're like, well, these games aren't going to be all that great. You've got a one seed playing a 13 or whatever it comes out to be. And now this year, we're going to get some great games in the Sweet 16. I mean, just looking down, like you got Houston, Duke, I think should be a lot of fun. Iowa State, Illinois should be a lot of fun. Even that Purdue-Gonzaga game should be awesome. Same thing with North Carolina and Alabama. So I think it's going to be quality basketball in the Sweet 16 this year. Creighton, Tennessee, another one of those games that I think is just going to be a blast. So normally you don't know what to expect out of the Sweet 16, but this year I think we can expect high-quality basketball. Really looking forward to when it kicks back off on Thursday.
I agree. Gonzaga, Purdue, I think that is my pick for maybe the best game. I think the Boilermakers are rolling. It's going to be hard to beat them, but yeah. Gonzaga has got it going as well. And I wanted to save some of this for Chad Gilbert in the next segment, but Trey Kaufman-Wren yesterday for Purdue, he got a shout-out of being a two-time state champion for Silver Creek on national television, and he had a big performance. He stepped up when there were some early struggles from some of the other key Purdue Boilermakers, and he made the most of it. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. And not only yesterday, but he got a shout-out on Friday as well. So I'm sitting on my couch watching both of those games this weekend, and I, of course, live in Sellersburg about less than 5 minutes from Silver Creek. So I'm sitting there watching those games, and then Kevin Harlan breaks into two-time state champion at Silver Creek High School in Sellersburg, Indiana. And I lost my mind. I was like, how cool is that? The town that I'm in right now, little bitty Sellersburg, is getting a shout-out on national TV. So that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, great to see Trey Kaufman-Wren play so well yesterday. He didn't have that great of a game on Friday, but yesterday he was really, really good, asserting himself offensively, wasn't scared of the moment, just really tried to help will his team to the Sweet 16, and it worked out. They ended up winning way big in that game, which, I hated seeing.
I almost said Kentucky. Connecticut rolling, playing great.
Yeah.
Golly, it's amazing to see Coach Hurley and the UConn operation, how good they are. Do they kind of spoil some of the fun the rest of the way? Are they going to be dominant all the way to winning the championship?
I mean, they've got a nice road set up when you look at it. I mean, they destroyed Northwestern, which I found was very fascinating. I thought Northwestern would have a little better of a fight than they did, but they took care of them by 17. Now they got San Diego State, waiting on deck. Yeah, San Diego State was in the Final Four last year, but they're not the same San Diego State. So I don't think Oregon has any issues with that game. Now, it does get interesting when you start the Elite Eight and take a look at Oregon, because they're going to have to take on either Illinois or Iowa State. Both those teams are playing very well. And then on the bottom side of that bracket, you've got North Carolina, Alabama, Clemson, and Arizona. So Clemson not going to scare UConn at all, but Arizona, North Carolina, or Alabama in the Final Four would be a tough challenge for UConn. So I do think they probably keep the streak going of just big-time blowouts against San Diego State, but I think that's probably the last game. Every game from here on out is going to be really tough for them, but, man, they have looked good.
You know, the SEC conference has been kind of their performance this year been kind of reminiscent of what the Big Ten typically is. Mm-hmm. They have not had the success that I think people felt they might this year. That being said, how do you rate the Big Ten's performance in the NCAA tournament this year?
That's tough to say because it's so top-loaded with Purdue and Illinois. Both of those teams, like I said, have been playing very, very good basketball. I've enjoyed watching both of those teams. But then you've got, like, the Nebraska that lost in the first round. Northwestern's performance against UConn was very disappointing. I mean, if I were to put a grade on it, I'd say C+, B-, somewhere in that range, just because you have Illinois and Purdue carrying the torch like they are.
Absolutely, yeah. See, I agree with you.
I mean, Wisconsin, they're another team that lost in the first round. Forgot about them.
Yeah, and then final thing I got for you on NCAA tournament. After a busy day Saturday of watching basketball and a busy day Sunday of not getting to watch hardly any basketball, how about some of the late games? The Creighton game was wild on Saturday night, going into double overtime before they cruised to victory. And then last night, the Houston-Texas A&M game already kind of got a rivalry feel to it. Two coaches that really know each other well. You just knew that one was going to come down to the wire. And a crazy three by A&M to tie it. What Houston had, was it three or four players fouled out of the game in overtime and maybe some in regulation, just playing with a makeshift squad, but Houston able to survive and advance. I thought that was an awesome game and an awesome finish to what was a great 4 days of the opening of the men's basketball tournament.
Yeah, for sure. And that's how you know that Houston's a good team, because that's you're facing some adversity in that game, and it doesn't look like on paper with those guys fouled out and the way Texas A&M stormed back doesn't look like, hey, it's not maybe not their night. They're not going to get it done. But they found a way to win, took it to overtime. Well, A&M took it to overtime, but Houston found a way to win in overtime playing very shorthanded. So that tells me that they are a true number one seed. Really excited for their matchup against Duke on Thursday as well. That should be a fantastic game. Duke looked incredible yesterday against James Madison. I thought James Madison had a really good shot in that game after taking care of Wisconsin, but Duke was able to destroy them. And now you get Houston Duke. So that'll be a lot of fun, but they found a way to win that game. And then, yeah, you're right with Creighton. I'm very high on this Creighton team. For them to go to double overtime and somehow escape with a 13-point win, but now they've got to take on a tough Tennessee team. So that should be a lot of fun as well. Just really looking forward to the rest of this tournament. This is one of the first years, Matt, that I've had this much fun watching the tournament knowing that Indiana's sitting on the sidelines. So it's just been high-quality basketball all around.
Absolutely. Justin Kalen, great producer of this show. Thank you, Justin. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, as soon as tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll head to a break. We're back with Chad Gilbert to talk Trey Kaufman-Wren, the Boilermakers, the state championship games coming up this weekend in high school basketball, and more. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown and an IHSA executive board member representing Southern Indiana. He's with us next as we put the focus on local sports. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this final segment of our Monday show, Thornton's Text Line. texter says, I've watched the Oklahoma women's team several times this year, including their game on Saturday. They are very good with size and outstanding shooters. Mackenzie Holmes will have some trouble, I guess is what the texter is trying to say, with Oklahoma's shot blocking ability. She needs to stay out of foul trouble. The point guard for the Sooners is also very quick and hard to stay with. Let's hope that all the players have their shooting eyes and can carry us to the Sweet 16. Thank you for the good text on the IU women's team. We'll be interested to watch. I think it'll be a great game tonight. 6:30, I believe, is tip-off, but that will be a lot of fun. Chad Gilbert is with us on Mondays. We put the emphasis on local sports, and Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School and an IHSA executive board member representing our area. Trey Kaufman Wren, Chad, let's start with him. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 18 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. A monster game for him as Purdue survives and advances fairly easy over Utah State, and they are headed to the Sweet 16. Great to see Trey Kaufman Wren, the local Silver Creek product, get an opportunity to shine on a big stage.
Man, I know this has got an IU feel to it on the show, but how can you not root for Purdue? They do everything the right way. They play the right way. They play extremely hard. And for Trey Kaufman Wren to play that type of game on the biggest stage to survive in advance, that just says a lot about his work ethic and his perseverance not to quit. You think about that. It's not easy. You're up there with the best of the best at Purdue. You got to take a redshirt year. And in his case, I thought he came back a little too bulky off his redshirt year. I didn't feel like he was as fluid as he was in high school. However, now I feel like he's more fluid than he was in high school. He's quick, he's athletic, he's strong, he's skilled. And I couldn't be more happier for that young man to show off in the biggest stage as he did yesterday. I mean, you think about that. He set the tone early yesterday, Matt, in that game that, when you're in those types of games and you're the best team, you've got to set the tone early. You don't want teams to hang around, ask Auburn and ask Kentucky. But what you want to do is put teams away early, and I thought Trey Kaufman Wren played a huge part in that. And then you think about that spin move he made to start the second half and dunk it. Outstanding. And you can't help root for him. You can't help root for those guys. And I wish him and the Boilermakers lots of luck in the next 4 games, hopefully.
I had Tennessee over Purdue in my bracket. Not so sure if I could go back and change it at this point. I wouldn't pick the Boilermakers to advance further than that. But what do you see, Chad, with this Purdue team? It's like in some ways, and Kyle Dedenrip tweeted this over the weekend, but in some ways it's like watching an Indiana All-Star team of great high school players from our state.
First off, Matt, my bracket's jacked. There's no need to even talk about my bracket. But secondly, yes, I think – Kyle hit it on the head. It's a lot easier to root for teams, whether it's Indiana, whether it's Kentucky, whether it's Louisville, whether it's Purdue, when they have in-state kids. The guys like you and I watch in high school, you see them develop, you see them do well. And it doesn't matter if it's local kids from Clark Floyd County or if it's kids from Medford, kids from the region, kids from Fort Wayne, kids from Indianapolis. You can't help root for Indiana kids. I mean, you saw the kid from Oregon. That's an Indiana kid from East Chicago. You couldn't help root for that kid. So anytime there's Indiana kids in the tournament, you really want to get behind them and push them to go forward. But I think that makes the games a whole lot more interesting and a whole lot more fun. You know, I know I've said this before, Matt, but I could name you every guy on the IU roster, the Purdue roster, the Kentucky roster, the Louisville roster when I was growing up. It's hard to do on Kentucky and Louisville right now. Hard to do on Indiana, but pretty easy to do on Purdue.
Chad Gilbert, my guest here in this Monday edition of the show. Other NCAA tournament thoughts, Chad? I know that you really spend a lot of time studying the games, watching the games, and any other surprises or thoughts as we just completed 4 days of wall-to-wall hoops?
You know, the one thing on it is, it looked to me like every team that advanced was pretty close to chalk outside of Kentucky and Auburn. Unfortunately for me, those are two of my favorite teams I like to watch. I hated to see them go, but I think the Sweet 16 matchups are going to be exciting, outstanding, great basketball this week.
Yep, going to be fun. Can't wait for more basketball coming up a little bit later in the week. Speaking of later in the week, the state championship games in all four classes will be played Saturday in Indianapolis. And we're going to have Scottsburg coach Eric Richardson with us tomorrow on the show. We had Coach Benner from Brownstown last week, and a lot of additional discussion coming here on the show about the state championship games. But a little different for the one-week pause in between. But it is what it is. It's still going to make sure it's a big show at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for all the four championship games. But definitely different for coaches to have a week off, Chad. I guess more preparation time, but you get out of that flow of Saturday to Saturday to Saturday.
The only thing that I don't like about the extra week off, Matt, is it's Easter weekend. Outside of that, if I'm playing in the state finals, every year give me 2 weeks off. You're on that grind. You just played two games in that semi-state, the dreaded semi-state that everybody has to play two games in. You play two games. If you're playing 1 week, you're right back to the grind on Monday. The 2 weeks off, you can get Monday off. You can go to Gainbridge. You can do your media reports. You can do your local media. You can go read at the elementary schools. The local businesses can have you out for dinner. You can get your scouts ready. You got that spread out over 2 weeks. That's a lot of stuff you can get in and not be rushed. When we made our state championship run, we were rushed every bit. I didn't even mention ordering T-shirts. We were rushed every bit around the turn. This is a little bit more spread out. It's a little bit more time to enjoy it. And for the teams, every team gets 2 weeks off. So it's not like a team has an advantage over the other. So if it is a small disadvantage of being out of your routine, it's a disadvantage for your opponent as well. So I think it's how you look at it. You look at the glass half empty, you look at the glass half full. When we played the state championship, we played it in Fort Wayne. Would I like to play it in Gainbridge? Absolutely. But to play for a state championship, I'd go anywhere in the world to play for a state championship, Matt.
Chad, any thoughts on the state final games? I think Scottsburg and Brownstown, both Mid-Southern Conference members, along with your Pirates, I think those two teams have a chance to win championships on Saturday.
It's going to be a fun day. Bam and Evie are the ball boys for those games, so I'm excited to get them and be around it. My kids are starting to get around basketball a bit more, starting to pick it up. And I think watching those teams are excellent role models for my kids to watch and want to be around. And I hope people in the community do that with their kids as well. It would have been nice. I thought Jeffersonville was right on the cusp, Matt, to getting there. And that would have just been an outstanding Saturday if all those three teams would have been there. But to cheer for Brownstown, to cheer from Scottsburg, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know all the MSC schools are rooting for both those two to bring it home.
Chad Gilbert with me here on this Monday edition of the show. Somebody texted in and said, Trey Kaufman Wren, Chad, what could his ceiling be in basketball? Obviously, he's got a lot of time left at Purdue, but beyond that, I mean, he's a pro at some level. I don't think there's any question about that.
No question, Matt. And that's the thing on that. If you're at that high level, you've got a chance to be a pro. I mean, look at the kid that you mentioned Tennessee earlier. Wasn't he at a Division II or a Division III last year? And he got SEC Player of the Year. I mean, those guys know what they're looking for at those Power 5 conferences. And Trey Kaufman Wren, you know, he passes the eye test. It's just a matter of if he can do what it takes to be at the NBA level. And if he keeps making the leaps and bounds and improvements as he's made in the past couple of years, there's nothing that makes me think there's not a roster spot available for him somewhere.
Chad, another question for you. Dusty May, a guy that we know that's from Southern Indiana, up in Greene County, he spurned Louisville and Vanderbilt and maybe other schools to go to Michigan. He's in the Big Ten Conference now with Indiana. Your thoughts on that? He's been one of the hottest coaches now for two or three seasons, and of course the Final Four trip for Florida Atlantic last year really helped solidify that he was going to have an opportunity really to move up wherever he wanted. But your thoughts on him going to Louisville and maybe bypassing the Cardinals?
Matt, I'm not sure on that how that works. You know, I thought he might get paid more than he did at Michigan. I'm not sure what he made at Florida Atlantic, but I'm sure he got a bump after last year's Final Four run. I do not know Dusty May. I don't know. Did Levi Carmichael play with him, Matt? I think Levi's from Eastern Green.
He didn't play with him, but obviously would know him well.
And all those Eastern Green guys know each other. I mean, their coach back in the day was Mark Barnheiser, whose son plays for Northwestern, who had a heck of a game yesterday. And you want to talk about a gym rat that gets kids involved. Mark Barnhauser is one of those guys. He played at Purdue, played at Auburn, and was an outstanding coach in Indiana. Still is at Lafayette Jeff. But all those Eastern Green guys have basketball running through their veins. And Dusty May, I'm sure, is no different than that as a basketball junkie. I think he made the decision based on what he thought was best for him and his style. Louisville, I don't know. You know, who knows what Louisville's got going on? You can only go speculation. I would think if they knew that they were going to be hunting for a coach for a long time, they'd have somebody on deck that maybe no one knows about. I would hope so. But moving forward, only time will tell who will be the next coach at Louisville. And again, Louisville is one of the top 10 jobs in America. They should get one of the top 10 coaches.
Yeah, no question. Chad Gilbert with me Mondays on the show. Chad, great to catch up. Enjoy more hoops, and we'll talk next week.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday show. I know a lot of people on spring break this week. Safe travels. Enjoy your time away. We'll catch up again tomorrow at 11 o'clock with our regular Tuesday guest and more, including Scottsburg coach Eric Richardson, who will join us to talk about the Warriors as they head into a state championship game coming up on Saturday. I know a lot of people pulling for Scottsburg and Brownstown to keep it local and at least somewhat local, win a state championship, bring it back to the greater Southern Indiana region. Have a great Monday. I think some weather coming in tonight, a lot of wind tomorrow as well. Be safe, and we'll talk tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.